Isn't it great to be a Christian? Man, I'm loving that. I'm just telling you right now. I wasn't raised in church. I wish I would have been. So I raise my kids in church. And I tell young people all the time, you should do a whole lot more than me. I never met the Lord until I was in a war zone. And I was about 19 years old. But kids in church have a 19-year head start over me. They go to all these children's classes. They go to the youth group. They're in here many times worshiping with parents. Wow. And so as you grow up in the house of God, you ought to be just hammering this world, man. I mean, you ought to be reapers of souls like nothing else. Can I have an amen on it?
Amen.
Yeah, man. Well, welcome to the last days. What do you think about it? I have never seen so many ballistic people in my entire life. Have you? Man, they're delusional, my friend. Have you meditated at all on some of their solutions? We're going to fix this problem. We're just going to lock you all in your house until we figure out how we're going to do it. But we are going to fix it. Amen. So I don't know. It's crazy, you know. I've been kind of dealing with the whole mask thing. It's like, do you wear one or don't you? One whole set of medical people who I guess are very well known, very well established medical people, doctors, surgeons, they say, you better wear that mask. You could die if you don't. But then again, a few days later, a whole other set of very well-proven medical people said, you better not wear that mask, you'll die. And then one comes out and says, well, you don't wear it for you, you wear it for other people. Then this group says, no, you wear it for yourself to protect yourself from the other people. I'm thinking, what kind of goofball country am I living in? We got all these smart people in leadership and they can't decide whether or not Mark Barkley should wear a mask. Isn't that amazing? But it's part of the last days. That's the point. I'm not picking on them. It's just the Bible predicts people will become delusional. They won't be able to do the math. 2 + 2 will never again be 4 in some of their minds. But we're the Christians, man. We're the body of Christ. I know you do. We can see right through all this stuff. Can't you? Yes. Sure you can. I mean, it's confusing. You know, especially if you're listening to someone and it's not your field of expertise, so you want to believe them. I mean, they got credentials, so you think, yeah, we better listen to what they say. But then again, you can see through the nonsense, the overreach. I'm not just talking about COVID, by the way. I'm just talking about life. Man, and we're the people of the light.
Amen.
You don't look like it right now, but you know you are the answer people.
Amen.
They don't have any answers out there, man. They're scrambled eggs. Seriously, they're messed up. But you're Bible people.
Amen.
You got answers for everybody, man.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Yeah, we're Bible people, praise God. Amen. And speaking of that, I brought mine. Did you bring one?
Yes.
Well, open it up to Luke chapter 21. Come on, praise God. Say amen. Thank you, Jesus. Shout or something. Clap.
Yes.
Kick the chair ahead of you. Do something. Oh, man. Luke chapter 21. Lord, help us to look in to the verses that talk about us today. Luke 21, it says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. That means carousing. Now, carousing, that could be the internet and end up looking at stuff you don't, you know. And so carousing could be church skipping. Going from one place to, I don't mean visiting a church when they have a camp meeting or something. But some people can't lock and load, man. They can't lock it down. They just like, they go from one place to the other. But the Bible says if that overcharges your heart, it's going to cause you some weakness, some problems. Let's keep reading. In verse 34, and overcharged with surfeiting, Look at this, and drunkenness. Now that doesn't just mean alcohol. There are a lot of people intoxicated to the spirit of this world. Then look at this, and the cares of this life. What? How do you escape that? You know, you got some cares. You get married, you got double cares. You have babies. Holy angels in heaven, send the anointing. Amen. If you're poor, don't have babies or a dog. They both cost a lot of money, man, let me tell you. But look at this. The cares of this life, why? What's the big warning all about? Well, keep reading. So that that day come upon you unawares. But we are aware. We are aware of the day we live in. We're Christians. We have the Spirit of the living God living on the inside of us. Right? We are born of the Spirit. Aren't you? We are filled with the Spirit. And we are led by the Holy Spirit. That's right. So this is a warning to all humans, by the way. Everybody, including us. But you shouldn't be the ones that are shocked and can't figure it out. Are you kidding me? We're the body of Christ. And that day, the day of the Lord, however you want to say it, the last day, the coming of Christ for Christians, the catching away of the church. That's not the second coming. That happens later. It should not catch you unaware. You should be very attentive. One verse says right here, look at verse 28, just a side note. Look at 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then do what? Tell me.
Look
tell me out loud. Do what?
Look up.
I can't hear you.
Look up.
And lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Your redemption is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's the church calls it, we call it the rapture. This one guy, he said, well, you know, Doc, seriously, man, the word rapture is not in the Bible.
Right.
I said, that's right, neither is the word Bible. But you believe in the Bible. But the definition of the word rapture is very well explained in the Holy Scriptures. I call it the last appearance of Jesus Christ. Not the second coming, that's different. If you're here for the second coming, you have done something to take a wrong turn. You and I should watch the second coming from heaven. What a glorious day that'll be. Put his foot on the Mount of Olives. Put an end to the war of Armageddon. Woo! You know, heaven's big, so we're all going to have a first row seat to look through the portals and watch the scriptures to climax these ages come to pass. Man, makes me almost want to go early. Think about it, man. That's us. Well, this says, look at verse 35. For as a snare, you know, a trap, shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Do you dwell on the earth? Then this is talking about you too. Yes, it is. It says right here, on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. That's the sinner, we'll say, and the saint. Like a snare? Yeah. The best way I have to illustrate this, in my private office at my world headquarters, I have a big bear trap. You ever seen a metal bear trap, the jaw type? And it's about this big around in the center. Now you open it up, and there's a way to do that safely. And then you set like the paddle in the middle and the jaws stay open. And then something as big of a bear could step into it and trap that bear. Okay, now my grandpa had one of these when I was a kid. Me and my three brothers, the four Barclay boys. God help everybody. Y'all look pretty like you had a perfect childhood and nobody got in trouble but me. So Grandpa said, now, you boys follow me. So we follow Grandpa. We go out to the barn, and here's this big old steel contraption like a bear trap. And he says, now, I'm going to set this trap and show you something. So he stepped on it, and the jaws fell open because it relieved the tension. He set the little paddle and slowly let his foot up, and it's all set. And then he took a stick about this big around and about that long, and he dropped it right in the middle of that trap. It closed so fast with so much authority and power, it snapped that log in two and flew off the ground. The trap flew off the ground about this high. Now, that's fast. And my grandpa said, now, you see what it did to that stick? You boys get your hands or legs in one of these, you're done. So you stay away from this. Now, I think my grandpa was a little premature, because I don't think at that age all four Barclay boys together could open that trap. What are you saying, Doc? Like a snare. Quicker than that. There'll be no prep. Your prep is now. Your time to get ready, my friend, is right now. I know you know this. Let me preach to you. Now's the time. And it says when you see this stuff starting to come to pass, surely you see it, right? This is coming to pass, man. And what's it say to do in verse 28 again? Look up. Lift up your heads. Look up. Because Jesus is on his way. Now, you know, when the Lord rose from the dead or was raised from the dead, he appeared to his disciples. I think that's pretty cool. And in different settings, remember? In different times, more than once. And the last appearance of Jesus Christ will be what we call the rapture. Because he doesn't step down on the earth according to the scriptures. We'll meet him in the air. There'll be a blowing of a trumpet. There'll be a shout from the archangel. A shout from heaven. It's not a quiet event. We're not going to slip away in the night like a bunch of scaredy cats. He's not coming for a broke down, hidden, and beat up church. He's coming for a glorious church. That means God filled. Say it, I'm God filled. So that last appearance will be when he comes down with a cloud of witnesses. And we'll look up and see him. And in the twinkling of an eye, we'll get caught up off the earth. And so will we ever be with him. Rejoice is better than going to hell. Yes. It's better than damnation. Yes. And it's even better than staying here for the tribulation period. Yes. Say amen. Amen. This one guy says, you know, Brother Barclay, I don't believe in that rapture thing. I think we're going through the tribulation period. I said, oh, I'll give you one day. One day. You can't go to church? You're unsteady church attendance? You steal the tithe? You gossip? You talebear? Who knows what sins in your life, son? I love you, but I'm just saying. If you can't beat these little private and lance corporal level demons, you're going to take on the demons of the tribulation period? I said, I changed my mind. I give you 1 hour. 1 hour! And they'll find you and drag you out and you'll deny Christ and go to hell forever. If you can't beat these little impy, dumb little demons that have, they can't just go after us. They got to trick us, honey. They got to deceive us, man. They got to, that's why the Bible says you got to get wise to all these little tricks that Satan uses. Why? Because he can't just come in here and kill us. He can't just take you. He's got to trick you. You got to give place to him. Whew, that's good preaching. Thank you. So, we're in the last days. I don't think you need me to remind you of that, but I'm going to anyways. Why? Because we're the last days army of God. We're different. We're different. And if you stay with God and you're caught up in the air, the Bible says in the book of Revelations, all of heaven will look at you differently and me differently and say, oh, you're those. You're one of them. Read it. You're one of them clothed in the white garment. You made it. Remember what it says? To those who endure and overcome and make it to the end. They're going to get caught up now. That's better than any bottle of beer or six pack you can pass around, man. Last day stuff. We're watching it happen now all around us. It's kind of exhilarating. It's weird. People are weird. Have you noticed that? I'm serious, man. They're losing it. I just keep shaking my head like, what did they say? What are they doing? Do you do the same thing? I'm not talking about judging people, like judging them to hell. I'm just like, wow. Today we got all these little excuses. I don't think you do. But we got all these little excuses like, well, the Bible's not for today. It's not for modern man. Shut your face. We have never lived in a day where the Bible's more important than it is right now. It's clarity. It's clarity. It lines things back up again. It resets your focus for you. You get out there, man, and you start listening to them, you get out of focus. You come in here, there should be no guessing. Crystal clear. Right? Man is a man and a woman is a woman. Life is life and death is death. Right is right and wrong is wrong. It doesn't matter who it is. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
In here, in the kingdom, in the local church, anybody should come in here and find clear, straight, refocused for their life truth.
Amen.
Clarity. Clarity is a deliverance for confusion. So good job, Pastor.
Yes.
Pastor,
amen.
Good job.
Amen.
Keep preaching it. Keep teaching it. Keep laying it out. Believers, God bless you. Keep it up, man. Now, I don't think we got to go too much farther here as far as to make my point, but look at verse 36. Remember the snare now. That's how fast it's going to happen. And it'll be over. There'll be no preparation afterwards. Now is your time and my time to get ready for dealing with the end time events. Can I have an amen on that?
Amen.
Verse 36. Watch ye therefore. I'm reading slow on purpose. And so this is something you do besides watch. Watch ye therefore and pray always. Why would I do that? That you may be accounted worthy. Now you can't get more worthy than what Christ made you. But you can be counted on that list. You can be counted worthy. One of my old preaching buddies, R.W. Shambach, do you know that name at all here? R.W. was preaching for me, you know, one time he said, you know, if you want to be present when the roll is called up yonder, you have to be present down here first. It's pretty good, isn't it? Someone said, well, Brother Shambach, we're believing for a revival. And he said, you can't be revived unless you weren't once vibed. Isn't that good? That's good. Really bad English, R.W., but it is good. It is good. Like, so watch ye therefore and pray always. Now that's not like shave your head like a monk and sit on a rock and quit your job. It just means we're ever in communication with heaven. Can I have an amen on it?
Amen.
Why? That you may be accounted worthy to do what?
Escape.
To do what? Tell me. To escape. All, not some, not a few, all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Woo! Man, that makes me want to straighten up and fly right. Learn what the Bible says about getting in line with the last day's events. Now, in case you don't realize it, you're right at the tail end of all church time. All church time. When the church started, all may come that wills to. Whosoever will may come. And then the doors of the church begin to close to the world. All through these times. And right now you can barely see in the crack of time. That's how close you are from, that's it. No more time of the church. The time of the church will be over. And we're so privileged to be part of this today. That's how I feel about it. I feel honored to be a preacher, to be a Christian today. I really do.
That's right.
Amen. So in the end, We have to deal with something called the anti-Christ. The anti-Christ. Now, Christ means, you know, Jesus Christ, but it also means Christian. Anti-Christian. Do you know how many American churches, not just America, you know how many American churches are anti-Christian? They're mocking up parts of our Bible. I heard a preacher, I don't say names because I'm not a slanderer. I don't mean it that way. I heard a preacher, very famous. If I said his name, some of you are paying for his heresy, and that's going to hurt you bad. You better pay attention to who you're paying attention to. Right. Write that down. Right. You better pay attention to who you're paying attention to, and especially who you're funding. So this man, he's been known as a good Bible teacher, as far as I know. He's been my friend for a long time. But now he's saying, don't read the red letters of your Bible. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Then he said, be careful not to read the first chapter of 1 John. That it's not for us. It was for the world, I guess. I even asked him, let me ask you a question. I write you a letter, it has 4 pages. So you don't start on page 2 in any letter. Duh. You start on page 1. So are you telling me that the Holy Spirit, who wrote the Bible, wrote 1 John chapter 1 to the beer garden, to the world, and 2 through the end of the chapter to the church? That's the dumbest thing I've heard in a long, long time. But that's what they're saying. You know why? Because in 1 John, it makes you face your sin. They're teaching you not to face your sin. In fact, they're teaching you not to feel bad about anything you do. So this one kid in my church, I say kid because I'm an old guy, but he's probably in his 20s. That's not really a kid. But he come up to me and he said, you know, I heard this preacher on TV, and he said, I should never feel guilty. Ever. I said, really? Let me ask you a question. Are you guilty? He goes, yeah. I said, you should feel guilty. See, when I'm cold, I feel cold. When I'm hot, I feel hot. When I'm wet, I feel wet. When I'm dry, I feel dry. And when you're guilty, you should feel guilty. That's called your conscience. It just shouldn't stay guilty. You should find your way. God made a way to the altars of God, did he not? There's altars, there's elders, there's a Bible, there's a Holy Spirit. There's no reason to stay guilty and condemn yourself. But Paul said, actually the Holy Spirit, Paul said, your own heart will condemn you if you don't deal with your wrong living. Your own heart? Yeah. Did you know, you probably do, but did you know that every country, the Bible says, will be in the Middle East for Armageddon is there right now for the first time in human history. It's been that way for like 3.5-4 years. Every country that this Bible says will be present for Armageddon has either troops there, or they have diplomatic people there, or they have representation there, but they're actively involved, and it's going to end up in the Valley of Megiddo, yeah, in the War of Armageddon. Right. And it's never happened in all of human history until right now. Yeah. And you're trying to tell me we're not in the last days? That's one occasion. Would you look at me and tell me that we're not in globalization and a one-world government? We denied a one-world government until a germ came along called COVID-19. A germ came along. It wasn't the germ. We've had a lot of killer germs before. It's the mismanagement and the Antichrist movement against the church that shut the world down. Yes, it was. You see, when you quarantine sick people, that's for their sake and others. It's Bible, like the leper colonies. or the woman with the issue of blood should, she was taught, don't you go out in public until the flow stops. It's not. So we understand that. But when you quarantine healthy people, it's called tyranny. It's communism. And it's against your constitution, but it's more so against the rights that God gave you. And being we're on this for a second, even if you disagree with me, it's okay. I'm a big guy, but got big shoulders. Let me tell you this. The Constitution doesn't give you rights. God did. It protects your rights. Because godly people are the ones who wrote it, I believe, by the hand of God. I don't salute it as high as my Bible, but I salute it. And it's one of the best documents ever made by man. And you know what? People want it changed. Not China. Don't be fooled now. Not Russia. Americans want the Constitution changed to fit their new filthy ways. Yes. But the same attack is against the Bible. Don't read the red letters. They're the words of my Christ. The Bible even says within itself, let the words of Christ, let the whole word dwell in you. But the red letters are the words of Christ. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. Not sort of. Richly. In other words, more than any other verses. Know what your master said about the last days. Whew. Now I know why the Antichrist wants these red letters gone. Because if you're a church person, if you're a believer, a Christian, there's more assignment, information, warning, and insight of what's to come in the red letters than any other place in the Bible and all the prophets put together. Amen. You can challenge me if you want to, but you can't prove me wrong. Why? Because I'm right. Because I already did the homework. I don't say it cocky, I just already did the homework. Now, if you want to talk about all of the end times and include, you know, Israel and include, then you can't just have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You got to have Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the book of Revelation. But when it comes to the church, warning after parable, after story, after figurative language, allegory, after parable again, Jesus was trying to tell us what the last days would look like.
That's right.
We got plenty of warning. We should know it's like the day of Noah. People live so morally filthy, dirty in the day of Noah that God literally said, it repenteth me that I made humans and I'm going to kill them all. But he saved eight because Noah found grace. Now, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. One guy in the whole creation found grace in the eyes of God. How am I to interpret that? One guy lived godly? Out of all of creation, and God killed everybody but him and those that built that ark. I believe with all my heart that if they wouldn't have helped their daddy build that ark, they wouldn't have floated on it. You don't get in because you have a relative. I also can't believe that the only relatives that Noah could have had is like those three sons and three daughter-in-law. Can you? Surely if you're old enough to have kids and they're old enough to get married, there's probably other relatives along the line. You think Noah never had a brother, never had a... But they didn't ride the ark. How many people rode the ark? Eight. Count Noah. Want to count them? Help me. There was Noah. Mama Noah. Ms. Noah. And how many boys? And how many wives?
Three.
One apiece. Is that eight? Eight people. Eight people. Did what God said. Mocked for 100 years. That's not a very popular preacher. Modern preachers will quit after about a year or two of being mocked at that level. I would think. Not all of us, but. But. We have a picture of that. What were people doing? It's in your Bible. What are people doing now? Why did Jesus Christ say that the day of His coming, you can look around and it'll match what happened in Noah's day? You wasn't in Noah's day, so you got to look in here to see what was going on. It was recorded for you. You didn't have to guess. And then He said, it'd be like the day of Lot. Uh-oh. Ooh, this is about to not be politically correct anymore. What happened in Lot's day? Homosexuality, sodomites ran rampant. We've been so programmed, we now can only use special words to define sexual perversion. Or you're naughty. But the Bible says it pretty clear. Did God spare the city? Did Abraham ask God to spare the city? Did Abraham himself have favor with God? Absolutely. When he cried out to God, when it was all said and done, did God spare the city? No. But God did say, I'll get the righteous out. But I'm not sparing the rest. I don't know what school you went to, but this is the same God that sent Jesus Christ. Because you see, though modern preachers, many of them preach that it was God the Father who got saved at Calvary, that the God of the Old Testament, it's called antinomianism if you're a theologian, that the God of the Old Testament was mean and bad and killed everything and everybody if you were naughty, but the God of the New Testament is different. He got saved when Jesus died. He's a sweetie now. He's not mad at anybody. You can live any way you wanna. That is a bunch of trash. That is so far from your Bible. I saw a big billboard down in by our Florida church. And we're driving down the highway to go see our friends, Don and Mary Colbert, Dr. Colbert, if you know who that is. And so we're on the little highway headed to his place. There's this massive billboard that says, God is not mad, and then underneath, at you. And I looked up and saw that, and I thought, what yo-yo would pay for something like that? God is so tipped off that if it wasn't for the propitiation of the spilt blood of Jesus Christ, none of us would be alive. Amen. And if you don't think God is tipped off, start with Revelation chapter 1. For 7 years, not days, not months, for 7 long, tormenting years, the Bible says God pours out His wrath on this earth. Trees, shrubs, animals, humans, the water and the lakes. And then He starts messing with the solar system and starts rearranging stars out of His anger. Have you not read your Bible? Well, I don't know if I agree with that. Whoa. Then take a razor blade and just cut the book of Revelation out of your Bible. Because it is in there. Do you know how many vials are opened in heaven? 7. 7 vials of judgment. Do you know how many vials are opened in hell? None. Zip. Zero. The devil has nothing he can do in the tribulation period. There's not one picture in this Bible that the devil's having a heyday and the devil's going to cause 7 years of just going crazy and poor. Are you kidding me? In fact, it says for a lot of the tribulation period, Satan himself and bad demons will be jailed. It's God saying, He should have taken my son's sacrifice. And you mocked me and you mocked my son. And He pours out His wrath. I know. Some of you have been eating sweetie little cookies from sweetie little toothy little preppy little smiley preachers for so long that you think there's something mean or bad about my message. But it's Bible. It's the Bible. You know, Brother Barclay, I heard there is no hell. Well, you didn't hear it from Jesus Christ. He talked about it more than any author in the Bible and defined it pretty well. So you can believe, brother, sister, fancy pants. I'm going to go ahead and stick with Jesus Christ myself. I mean, it's kind of like my choice. The Antichrist, my friend. The Antichrist. It took one germ and a bunch of demon-deceived people to shut down the world in 14 days. In 14 days, from ground zero, 15 people only ruled this entire world. They weren't even mostly world leaders. Yeah, wake up.
Yeah.
I got a question for you. It's not a conspiracy theory, it's a question. How did Bill Gates and Dr. Fauci know that in 2020 a crisis like this and a pandemic was coming? Because neither one seemed to be very prophetic to me. But they knew. They discussed it. And they designed their system now to track human beings who have or have not been inoculated with a vaccine that's soon coming. Yeah. You can say what you want to. You can say, well, you're just speculating. Well, next year you see me. Once the vaccine is out, whatever it is, and they make a rule of whether or not you got to have it or not, and then a tracking software that they've already said, Bill Gates and them, they've already said, we're designing the tracking software. We'll know exactly who has the antibodies, who doesn't, who has had COVID, who doesn't, hasn't, and who has been inoculated or vaccinated and who has not. And they're saying now, without that card or chip or something, you won't get on a commercial airplane. You won't be able to go to a convention center because you haven't been cleared. You don't think that's like Antichrist, though? It took 14 days, that's it, to shut down the entire world and lock you in your homes with almost no revolt whatsoever. Think about that. That's quicker than what Germany did in the day of Nazi. It took them a little longer. They had to really manipulate, lie to the Jews, lie to the populace. This thing happened in 14 days, and government officials everywhere submitted to what was his name? Science. But they don't have the science. If you believe that package, you need to get to the altar of God tonight. We'll cast that demon right out of you. Last day stuff. We're last days people. We shouldn't be shocked. We had a man in my church, pastor. He said, and he used that word. He said, Brother Barclay, I'm just telling you, I am shocked. This is back down during the first couple weeks, you know, of the lockdown. I am shocked, he said, about all of this. I can't believe this is happening. I'm shocked that it's happening in America. I said, you're shocked? Like shocked? You've been going to church here? And you're shocked? Every other message is Matthew 24, Luke 21, the book of Revelation. Prepare yourself. The Antichrist is coming. The Lord is coming. And you're shocked? Have you not read your Bible? This is, though God's not causing this, my friends, this is thoroughly predicted. This is with great clarity. You should know what just happened from your Bible, and you should know what's coming next from your Bible. Is that clear?
That's right.
We're not the confused people.
That's right.
And if you are, you're listening to the prophets of the land instead of the prophet of God.
Come on.
That can happen.
Right.
I hope it's not you. Yeah. Wow. The whole world shut down. Now, out in California, if you want to see what's going to happen to America if the wrong people win this election, just look at California. That's their model. They brag about their model. I'm not just accusing anybody, and I'm not running for office, so I'm not saying the words like Republican, Democrat, Independent, Liberal, Conservative. I'm talking about a state. They are proud of California. The governor of California said church is canceled indefinitely. And now they're jailing preachers and they're releasing prisoners. This is America. Excuse me. You want to tell me this is not the last days? So the church in California is mostly, now you can do a little government church thing. But the inspector is going to come during your service. That's what they tell you. We'll come there and we'll make sure you're practicing masks, separation, sanitation, da-da-da-da. And if you're not, we're going to shut you down. That's a government church. And you're going to only have a couple handfuls of people. Other than that, the church in California, the USA, is an underground church. Amen. They're having to, it's just like China or Russia. That's the truth. I'm not exaggerating anything. I got churches out there. I got pastors out there ordained with me. I know what I'm talking about. So on a midweek service, they park all over town. And they walk to church a couple at a time, so it doesn't look like they're going to church. Because if you go to church, you can get fined or you can get arrested. So they sneak in the church building. In the evening services, they have one light above the pulpit for reading purposes. And they make everything else dark so that if the Gestapo, if the police, whoever goes by and sees lights in the building, they bust the meeting. And they'll either jail or fine the preacher. This is no exaggeration. Now, about 2.5 weeks ago, they started raiding homes that are having Bible studies. And they're fining the homeowner up to $10,000 per time and the attendees $750 a head. The government in the United States of America. But isn't it strange? Does this not mean anything to you that they're not busting other gatherings in homes? No, they're not. Only if there's a Bible involved.
That's right.
We're close, guys.
Yes, amen.
They're proud of that. They're proud of that. Their governor, Miss Pelosi, they say that. I'm not picking on them. They're saying that's our model. Now, if you want to see what's going to happen to America in 12 months, vote those people in. It's that simple. That's what they want. That's what they will do. Amen. Now, we can resist it for a while. Church people, preachers, the real church, we're the only resistance the Antichrist has. Besides that, we're the only voice that God has. God has nobody talking for him but us. And how quiet are you on that? There's not another religion on the planet that's talking for God. The sinners aren't talking for God. The government's not representing our God. The Supreme Court has failed us and spit in the face of our God, though some of them claim to be conservative and a couple of them claim to be religious. One of them claims to be a Christian, but they sure don't vote like they're Bible people. You still with me? I'm not trying to scare you. My duty is to blow a trumpet in Zion.
Yes.
And sound an alarm in the holy mountain. That's the church.
Amen.
The day of the Lord is at hand. This is a bad day to not have a church, not have a pastor, not pray, not read your Bible, not bring in the tithe, not be a giver, not be a forgiver, spend no time at the altars, no time in prayer. This is a bad, bad, bad day. Bad choice. Bad choice to be a slippery, lazy Christian when all this evil's all around you. And people are dropping dead everywhere, not just from COVID. Yeah. We can keep going. I mean, the list is long of the evidence that's happening right now in your world that proves the Bible true and the Antichrist and his maneuvers. But you know what? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Yeah. So what if the army of God, and we are, by the way, starting to rise up. The church is always slow to push back. But when we do, we're a power to contend with. And we're starting to rise up now and push back. Yeah. So there are two or three Christian leaders that said, you know, if those people can demonstrate and riot, right? If they can go out, you know, and protest, that we're going to have a Christian protest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by thousands of people, they're having Christian song concerts in the streets, in the parks. And the police will not seem to arrest the people burning and shooting and stabbing, but they're trying to gather up all these Christians and say, you can't do that. You don't have a permit. You can't gather. Sorry, California again. And that happened also in D.C. They blocked a whole park and wouldn't let the Christians in to have their music concert, but they let the bad guys in to demonstrate. They end up hurting each other. In the one place a person died. Thank you. But it's not too late for us. I think it's too late for some of them. Though that's not my judgment. I'm going to go after every human being like there's still a hope for everybody. Right? I am. The last days. So, what could be more powerful against Satan and his army of invisible enemy soldiers than a holy man with a Bible in his hand? The answer is nothing and nobody. Not a dirty preacher with a Bible in his hand. We got lots of them. Not a holy preacher that's afraid to preach the Bible. We got a multitude of them. But what if you could ever find a holy man with a Bible in his hand? What else would you might be looking for? That'd be worth driving 3 hours a day. Because that's what brings stability and clarity and the anointing of God. And it refocuses you. Now, before I close and pray over some of you, I mentioned a phrase I think the Lord would want me to cover it, before I'm done. Maybe I'll enter this way. Who are you listening to? Because whoever has this, look up here, whoever has this in the palm of their hand. Don't you ever be fooled about that. So in the Bible, we know of a story. I believe the stories of the Bible, Old Testament and New, are in there to teach us, to warn us, and to show us the heart of God. And they're there on purpose. They're not just little stories that someone decided to folklore. What do you feel about it? I feel like it's the Bible. It's God's Word. Now, there was this king. His name was Jehoshaphat. Remember that name? There was another king. His name was Ahab. Now, Jehoshaphat, he was the king of Judah. Ahab was the king of Israel. Remember who Ahab was married to? Jezebel, the preacher hater. She hated the prophets. She did everything she could to shut them up, jail them, and kill them, the prophets. And so Ahab, he wants to go down and take on Ramoth Gilead and get all their goods, all their treasury and all their, you know, horses of war. And but he doesn't think he can win. So he goes to Jehoshaphat and says, Jehoshaphat, listen, I don't think I can go take Ramoth Gilead with the armies of Israel. I don't think you can go take Ramoth Gilead with the armies of Judah. But if we join forces, we could go take on Ramoth Gilead and we'll just split the spoils down the middle. Smart warfare. So Jehoshaphat literally says, you know the story? He says, okay, but first, let's inquire what the word of the Lord is for today. Imagine that. He's not born again. He hasn't been water baptized. He's not filled with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't have a pastor like Scott Anderson. He doesn't have a Bible like you do. And the man was smart enough spiritually to tell another king, I'm not moving till we hear what God has to say about this. What if we were that way? In business deals. Banking, in debt, in choosing a church, in following a preacher. What if we said, I'm not doing it till I get a word from heaven? That's what Jehoshaphat said, not Ahab. It seems like from the story, Scott, that he figured it was going to go this way. So he has 400 prophets, the Bible says, of the land. And they come. Now that's one charismatic service. 400 utterances? Well, it says they all in agreement said, go down to Ramoth Gilead and you'll win. God will give you favor and everything's going to be great. That's what 400 famous, you don't get invited to the palace unless you're famous. It had nothing to do with God. It has to do with being famous. 400, all in agreement. So they get all done and Jehoshaphat says, is there not, that's my alarm, is there not a prophet of the Lord in this region? It's my alarm. I use taps. Brother Copeland said, it takes a Marine to play taps in order to stop preaching. Fear not, I hit the snooze button. Let me finish this story. And so Jehoshaphat says to Ahab, this is Barclay version. Nice show. Now this is Bible. Is there not a prophet of the Lord in this entire region? Just one. Just one little prophet that speaks for God. Just one, Ahab. You know the answer? Ahab said, well, there's one. But I didn't invite him. Why not, Ahab? Because he never prophesies anything good about me. That's what it says right there. I read that the first time. I thought, yeah, you knucklehead, because the real prophet speaks for God and he don't have anything good to say about you. You can't even get your wife in order. The preacher hater. So they go get Micaiah. And they school him on the way. I know what that's like. I've been schooled many times. And on the way to this great meeting, they school him. Now, let me remind you, prophet, who Ahab is married to. And he wants this really, really bad. He wants to go do this really, really bad. You better not mess up the 400 famous preachers that said go do this. So you better watch your mouth. And they're schooling him on the way. That's what the Bible says. I'm not just telling the story. And so all the way there. So he gets there, the one prophet of God. And it sounds like he fell for it. And so he stands up and he prophesies. It sounds just like the 400. Go down to Ramoth Gilead. And then God showed up. And he looks at Ahab. And you'll die in the city streets and the dogs will lick up your blood. Now, Micaiah didn't seem to die over that, but I have a feeling the people that schooled him short lived a really short life after that. So, who are you listening to? Now, there's only one classification of the prophets of God. They're pretty easy to pick out. They're not the user-friendly, seeker-sensitive, political correct, tolerant, want to be accepted. I can't get this, Scott. Why does the church want to be accepted by the Philistines? Why is it so important to us that the Amalekites hit the little like button on our social or anti-social page? I don't get it. But they do, it seems like. But there's two classifications of the prophets of the land. One is the preacher that lost his way, the placebo preacher, the fake preacher, the hireling, the heretic, the one who is professional, the jokester, the motivational speaker that has no business in our pulpits. Is that who you're listening to? Because they will not teach you this. They only carry this so you're easily deceived. They only read a verse or two once in a while, so you're at ease. and you don't have your guard up about anything else they say. But there's a more lethal prophet of the land, and that's the guest on the TV talk shows. I don't think they mean to be lethal. I don't think they mean to be prophets. But if you, next time you listen to even, I don't know who you listen to, one of the talk shows, you know, like every news has it, and then they have other ones, and then they put these people in boxes, you know, because they're from different places, and they're zooming them in. And they always ask them to prophesy. That's the prophet's job. They ask them to foretell. What do you see coming? They say. Tell us. You're an expert. Well, you worked for so-and-so back in 73. You're an expert. Look at your credentials. Tell the world, how do you think this thing will turn out? That's prophesying. That's predicting. And if you listen to that, and a lot of Christians do, I'm not telling you to never listen to the news. I'm telling you to be really smart about it. But next time you do it, just think about this message. What are they asking those guests to do besides predict, foretell, prophesy the future? And you know what happens? I think you do. But you know what, to say it, you know what happens? Many people even judge the preacher in the Bible. I've had people come to me and say, now, Brother Barclay, that was a powerful message. You must not have heard what was on Fox News last night. They had this guy on there that's an expert in this field. Oh, so I'm not and this isn't. What did he work for Reagan or something? That's his credentials? I love President Reagan, no offense. Is that his credentials? And you're going to take that, the prophets of the land, and go to Ramoth Gilead with that? You better be really wise about that and start listening to the prophets of God if you're not. I think most of you are, but if you're not, you should get back to the prophets of God. Can I have any amens at all? What might you be looking for if you ever find a holy man with a Bible in his hand? That's top shelf. That's the top thing. That's the most powerful thing you can find in today's famine. Today, a holy man, could be a woman, holy man with a Bible in his hand. So every preacher I know, I tell him, you get that book open and you preach your heart out about the day we live in, about the coming of our Christ, and help people get clean. You know, a lot of people don't like pastors, and here's why. We are pebble poppers. You get a pebble in your hoof, the hireling will just say, my God, that's an awful limp. You should have that looked at. He's powerless. He doesn't even know how to grab you and get his tool and pop the pebble up. But a good shepherd will wrestle you down. You can't say that. You're not going to live like that. Where have you been? And they'll grab you right by the leg like a good shepherd, pull that hoof up, pop that pebble out, as tender as it is. Oh, you'll whine and bah and scream and shake and get away and run off into the corner. But in a day or two, you'll say, my God, I needed that. Thank you, Pastor, for telling me the truth. Can I have any amens at all? I don't normally preach this long, but you have challenged me with not enough amens. Lord, it's all their fault. Put your hands to heaven. Close up shop first. I want to pray for you. I hope I helped you tonight. My heart was not to scare you, condemn you, nothing like that. My heart is to get your attention. That's my duty, is to blow this trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in the holy mountain. That's my calling. I'm just doing what God has called me to do. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, pray in spirit with me. Pray in tongues with me. If you're not, say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit and give me my prayer language. Come on, let's pray a minute. Build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Jude, verse 20, by praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh my. Scott, let that go a minute. Come over here. Let me anoint you with oil. I feel real strong of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Terry, come up here. I anoint you with oil from the office of the prophet. The Lord said that there was something missing. I don't know anything about it, but I know the voice of God. The Lord said something was missing in your ordination service, and it's coming upon you tonight, both of you. And the Lord said, you need to get ready because the word's going to be spread about you and people are going to come. You're not designed, though there's nothing wrong with it, to pastor a small church. You've been designed to help a lot of people. They're going to trust you too. They're going to come in and say, it's so refreshing to find real preachers. Holy people that love the Bible and they love God, and there's none of this pretense and Hollywood and fluff, just the real deal. People are going to be attracted to that. This church is going to grow, and it's going to grow good. Now, Lord, I anoint them with oil. I say, not only will the church grow, but property's coming. They're going to be able to have their own facility. Whether they buy it or build it, I can't see. I can't see it. You don't show it to me. But I do know, I hear you saying, you tell my son and you tell my daughter that I have property for them and a place to meet that will be their very own because I will own it and they are my servants. Haka, bosha, lefo, limon dele kisteke, limo saflate kosha. And may this anointing set deep on the inside of you and stick with you. Tonight, the Lord says, there's a deposit going in you by the Holy Spirit. And it's going to manifest. It's going to come out of your leadership when you lead. It's going to come out of your messages when you feed. It's going to come out of your hands when you pray for the sick. It's going to come out of your mouth when you prophesy. You are last day's vessels. And I anoint you for it, the Lord says. Lipa se kotola mashate la mashtakata. Lefa se la mante la mashtakata. Kaposh. Come up here, you two. Rachel, come on up here, both of you. I feel impressed to put my hand on you both. Praise God. Praise God. Father, when you came out to the jet, I was still on board. I looked out the window, and the Lord said, I'm about to promote him spiritually in a powerful way. I know you know God, but the Lord said you're going to know God more than you've ever known him before. All on your own between you and God. And the anointing is going to set on you so strong that you'll be able to use your hands to earn money, to get money, but you'll use your faith to do ministry. And you'll be able to do both like never before. Because you know, when we do it under our own strength, even if you're strong, you wear out after a while. But when you do it under the anointing of God, it's amazing what all a guy can do. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I'm going to put my hand on you for that promotion and for the power of God to sit on the inside of you greater than it ever has before. There's a divine deposit going in you tonight. It'll stay with you the rest of your life. Hallelujah. Until you take your last breath, what God's about to give you will stay with you till you take your last breath. It's a good thing, man. Lift your hands to heaven. Father, I thank you. From the top of his head, Ola Basoka Tota Bahasha, to the bottom of his feet, I ask you to anoint him and bless him. I put a hand on him right now. Put this deposit deep on the inside of him. He's a good son. He's a good son. He's a good man. He's a hard-working man. He's a smart man. He's got a good brain. You've given him a good head. But he's also got a ministry in the house of God. Oh, Shikama. May that come upon you, go in you, and stay in there. In the name of Jesus. Let's pray for him, everybody. Come on. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And you're going to pray in tongues more than ever before. The prayer language is going to manifest like never before. And you're going to be able to just talk to God out of your spirit, man. Pray in the spirit with me right now. So come on, dale blosti ke la mafle de li kese. Lima do lepo ye kabahashata. More than ever before, you're starting tonight on a great spiritual journey to the mountaintop with the Almighty God. Wait till you see what I've got in reserve for you, son. Gonna bless you royally. He has blessed you, hasn't he? But wait till you see what's coming, man. Praise God. Praise God. You still got to tell me the story about how you chased this chick down here and talked her into marrying you.
My dad set us up on a blind date.
Oh, Dad, come on. Wow, is Dad here?
Yeah.
Is he here? Where are you at? Where is he? Where are you at, Dad? Good move, man. Woo! That is hot. Isn't that great? You set your own daughter up, or your son, I mean, on a blind date? I heard about that. I heard about that. May that spread all over this kingdom. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, he didn't do you bad, did he?
He didn't.
No, he didn't. Your first and only blind date. That's good, because if you have another one, I'm going to come down here and smash your big toes with my mallet. That is, if there's anything left of him when you're done with him, right? I put my hand on you. I touched you in the center of your core when you're in your mother's womb. I visited you in your bedroom when you were but a child. I put in you a divine deposit that's four layers deep. You've now passed through layers 1.5. And what is going to manifest out of you through your voice, through your ministry and the gifts of the Holy Spirit will change people's lives. There's a deliverance anointing that's packaged in this deep gift. And as you sing and lead people into worship and such, people will be set free from demonic powers, even from substance abuse and from even like pornography, sexual perversions. You don't got to be concerned about doing it. Sing your heart out. Do what I tell you to do, my daughter, because the gift to set people free is already on the inside of thee. Que papa tole neshtake. Le monda liv lebo shika de la hasaka tala mashata. Let's pray for her. Do it. Come on. Do it now. Come on. Do it. Pray for her. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my. Come up here. Let me put my hand on both of you. Come on. Thank you, Lord, for mighty preachers, pastors. You've double loaded them. You've double gifted them. They're a double shotgun. They're not just one. They're two. And yet they're one. And they're powerful. And they've never yet, I see it in the spirit. Of course, I know you very well, but I see the spirit. You've never yet been able to fully accomplish what God truly called you to do. But the Lord says, you will. And because of your faithfulness, I'm going to cause things now to come to pass at a more rapid pace for you. Fear not about people who have betrayed you and deserted you and left you. They had to go so I could fill the billet and fill the ranks with those that want me and those that want you. Encourage them, Lord. I anoint them with oil. Let me get my oil. I anoint them with oil in the name of Jesus Christ from the office of the prophet. to the office of the pastor. Give them the strength to do it. I call money into your lap. I call givers into your church. Preachers have to be believed in. True preachers have to have money too, not just the fancy pants and not just the fake ones. We need money too. May people come and fund the cause of reaching last day's people. Say, in the name of Jesus. Let's lift our hands to Him. Come on, His name is Jesus. Lord, I love you and I praise you. You're so real. You're so real. We feel you. We know you. Lord, if there's anybody streaming or in this room or they get this recording later, they don't know you. This isn't about joining the church. They can if they want to, but this isn't about getting religion. This is about meeting Jesus Christ and preparing themselves for eternity. Come up here, Darby, way in the back right here with the black, with the sweater, the Jesus sweater. Lord points you out to me to pray with you. Now, so kind of Father, I thank you. Tell me your first name. Linda, that's for the recording so you can find it later. Oh, Linda. I see you now in the spirit by the help of you had to fight and scrap for about every good thing you've ever had in your life. And for some reason, somehow, somebody, or something, or some happening, or some demon either steals it or tries to mess it up for you. I call you out tonight, my daughter, to tell you there's an end to that now. There's an end to that. I anoint you with oil. There's a total end to that. It's time to enter into this new season where God is blessing you. He's going to heal your body. The Lord said, tell her I'm rushing through her blood right now. I'm rushing through her blood. I pray no more insulin resistance. None of that stuff. Heal her body and encourage her. She needs you to hug her and hold her in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this. Praise God. Your heads with me, please, everybody, just for a minute. It's just a polite thing to do, you know, because church sanctuaries are living rooms. They're not private rooms. So it's not like me and you. It's, so when we bow our heads like this and close our eyes, it allows the pastor to be able to deal with people without everybody watching. That's a wonderful thing. And some of you here, you have stalled out. You stalled out. I heard one of our pilots today say they were giving them commands about airspeed. And I heard the captain today, the one flying today, he said to the other one, Nathan O'Brien, he said, I want to make sure we don't stall out. We don't stall an engine. God just said to me, some of you in here, though you love me, meaning the Lord, you stalled out. You didn't mean to stall out, but you stalled. And the Lord said, I'm here tonight to restart your motor and to get you going in a forward motion. Praise God, that's good news. That's good news. Label safely one time. Now, if that's you, we're not looking around now, please, everybody help me. If that's you, lift a hand to heaven. Lord, I speak over these who have stalled out. They didn't mean to. They don't want to be there. They want to chase you. They want to be close to you. They want to move forward and do what you and be blessed by you and do what you tell them to do. I pray over them that they will restart their motors. You will give them a fire in them. Tonight, an unction from the Holy One. That they can rise back up and go ahead and just fulfill their spiritual life with you and live a spiritual life. I pray that over us in the name of Jesus Christ. Stalled out no more.
Everybody, whether it fits you or not, everybody say, I'm going forward.
I'm going forward.
Say, I'm moving up.
I'm moving up.
I'm going to be more spiritual than I've ever been. Say, the Spirit of the Lord tells me, I mean, I'm not a beginner. I could guess it, but I'm not guessing. I've been at this a long time. So right now I'm going to say, the Spirit of the Lord said to me, there are people in this room, you've been battling a gloominess, a gray cloud, like a form of a depression. Maybe you call it depression. Now, I've been around, you've been around, you get this many people in a room, of course, I could guess that somebody's fighting depression, but I'm not guessing. The Holy Spirit said to me, pray over those who need to release this cloud of gloominess, this gray cloud. It's called dismay. There's discouragement, there's depression, but there's this weird thing that hangs around called dismay. And it's a form, it feels like depression, but you can't ever figure out why you're depressed. Dismay. Close your eyes with me again, just for privacy, please. If that's you, say, I've really been fighting this, Doc, this dismay thing. I want to be happy, but I don't seem to be. I got to get this thing off my life. You lift a hand right now. Lord, look at him. I pray over him right now. Supernatural touch of the Holy Spirit. I pray over everyone that has their hand up. You know them without their hand up. And I just pray over every one of them. Oh, my Lord, I thank you. I thank you for freeing us from this thing. So the light of God, the supernatural light of God will shine upon our soul. We're not going to live under this anymore. Not anymore. Not anymore. Not ever again. In the name of Jesus. Mark, come up here. Let me put a hand up, Pastor. Lego Shiko. This is one of my men. I love this guy. Father, I thank you. And see. Let the anointing of God come on you. Lego Shoko Toro Basanta. Your time's not up, the Lord says. It's not up. I got more people for you to help. I see a tree that was once upon a time very fruitful. The fruit was picked and some fell to the ground and the tree had no more fruit. Very little fruit. A little, I don't know what you say, an apple, a pear, a thing here and there on the tree. And the Lord said, but you are now entering a season where you are once again going to be a very fruitful tree for me. And I anoint you with oil for it. On the office of the prophet. Thank you, Lord. This is a good man. Draw people to him. He'll feed them. He'll take care of them. Spiritually. He'll feed them spiritually. He'll take care of them. He'll teach them. He'll correct them. And he'll get them ready for your coming. He's a preparer of men. And I lay my hands on him for him. And I thank him it's going to happen for him. In the name of Jesus Christ. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, let's pray in the spirit. Come on. I'm watching my clock. I just feel like we want to pray. You want to do that again? Let's just pray. Pray in the English. Pray in the native language, Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's make a confession before the Lord, and then Pastor Scott will come. In fact, stand to your feet with me. Please don't be dismissed. We'll be doing that in a minute. Stretch out a little bit. Man, you're fun to preach to. I don't know if I helped you, made you mad or something. Dr. Summerall, if you know that name, Mr. Summerall, he was my dad, one of my dads. And he used to say, good preaching is like an emotional roller coaster. Good preaching makes you mad, makes you happy, makes you sad, makes you want to hug the preacher, makes you want to run up and knock him down. You agree, you disagree, right? Good preaching. Now, let's stand at attention, like you're in the military, or even if you just seen it on a movie. Stand up straight, in other words, hands on your side. Chin up a little bit without looking at the ceiling. Suck your belly in, if you can. God knows. Raise your right hand. Listen to me. Say nothing. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm giving you instructions. I wish you were always that obedient. Don't say anything you don't mean. Lord Jesus, here I am. Say, son or daughter, your son. I stand before you. I declare I am going forward, up and over to the most spiritual place I have ever been. I commit to you. I'm going to chase you from this moment with all of my heart, my mind, my strength. I declare that when you come, I'll be here, ready, waiting for you. So, help me, God. Clap real good. Clap real good. Come on. Clap real good. Woo! Glory to God. Thank you. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Have you been blessed tonight? Did we take the offering earlier, or did I just talk? Okay, well, sit down. We'll take an offering. How'd you get your envelopes ready? That's what we preachers are good at. Talk. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you tonight. You have blessed us. And tonight is just the beginning of the awakening of the body of Christ to serve you with our lives, to pour out our lives to you, Jesus, as you did for us. You have loved us, and we love you as your bride. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's our privilege to be with you tonight. It's just like, wow. I mean, this is more of an honor than being invited to the presidential dinner or whatever. I mean, I just to be in the presence of the Word of God speaking to us, reminding us of scriptures we've read so many times and we just skim past it. But Jesus says, look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's bless Dr. Barclay big tonight. And just, you know, this is our way of saying thank you to Jesus. Amen. Thank you to Jesus for preserving this man of God, his wife, his family. Do you know what a target a man paints on his back when he says, Jesus, I'll serve you. Jesus, I'll speak your word. Praise God for your faithfulness. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the gentlemen that have served you and flown you around the world, literally, to bring blessing to the body. Amen. And we bless Jesus tonight with our offering for his goodness, his faithfulness, his grace. Paul said, I was delivered from the mouth of the lion so that through me the gospel might be fully proclaimed to the Gentiles. What an awesome king to deliver the man of God time and time again. When he fought discouragement, the temptation to quit, say, oh, I'll just retire. Serve God long enough. But grace is given. Hallelujah. time and time again. Bless the Lord with this tonight's offering. Ushers, please wait on us. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Bless the Lord good. This goes to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This goes to His honor tonight. Thank you again for being with us, especially our guests, the ministers that have come out. Some of these folks have driven from a long ways, but we Houstonians are used to that. But we bless them tonight as they go. You're blessed in Jesus' name. Thank you for being a part. Also, on your way out, please remember to get a gift that we've provided for you there. We purchased a number of Dr. Barclay's wonderful book, God Possessed, and we want one per household be given to each of you tonight. If we run out, let Dolly know at the table. Take names. And we'll cover whoever's missing. But we got as many as we thought. I don't know how many's here tonight, but it's a full house. So praise God, we may not have enough. If we run short, we'll get some more, and we'll take care of you. Praise the Lord. Stand together with me. Go in the blessing of Jesus tonight. You may not have received a personal ministry word tonight, but you have. The word of God has been sown in you. Take it home. Nurture that word. Study it. As we said, we'll post this message here in the next couple of days, and it'll be up on our website. You can listen to it again and ask the Lord, say, what are you saying to me, Jesus? I don't know about you, but I took some good notes tonight. And one of the things that stood out to me was, be ready. Be ready. Don't be distracted by all this stuff that's going on around the world. Let's be ready for Jesus. He's calling us in this hour. Amen. So keep your eyes looking in the right direction. Look up. Praise God. God bless you. I could go on all night. I'm just excited. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for being here with us.